Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with His servants, with His creation, with His servants, with those people of iman and belief. Allah ta'ala has bestowed massive and very big amount of mercy onto the believing people. And how did Allah ta'ala do that, or how does Allah ta'ala do that? That if, for example, a person, a human being, implements a good deed, a pious deed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates that person's rank and that person's status. And further, the more that individual implements that amal, and the more that amal, that deed is beloved to Allah, the more that person's status will be elevated. For example, if we take the example, we have prayed Salatul Isha, Isha prayer. Allah ta'ala has elevated our status and rank, and our situation and rank and level before the salah and after, there's a massive difference. It's increased and been elevated. After salah, for example, we sit down for a little while, remain seated and do the dhikr of Allah. So our situation and iman, or our status before salah, was lower, and now the levels and the ranks have increased more due to salah and due to doing dhikr. Now in dhikr, there are different types of dhikr or remembrance, different conditions, different emotions, different actions which increase the rank and the status of a person. For example, first and foremost, the status of dhikr is that maybe where we are doing dhikr, when we are sitting in dhikr, then there could be a beloved servant or pious servant of Allah sat in that gathering. And this is possible, very possible. So before the gathering, before to know that that beloved pious servant of Allah to sit in his company in sohbat, then even due to that, the rank and the status of the people goes up more, because there's a good person in the gathering. Allah Ta'ala's attention and focus is towards that gathering, and it becomes beloved to Allah. So if there's a person who's pious in the gathering, then Allah Ta'ala says that these people are beloved to me. It's not a normal situation, and it's such a situation that his darja, his status is high. For example, if you sit in such a good person's company, if you see that person sit in his company, spend time in his company to this extent that we go to a place, or for example, we're doing dua somewhere. You have the status of your own dua. But then there's another situation, example, where the friend of Allah, wali of Allah, is sat and you're doing dua there. Then the difference is present between the two states. So there, in the second example, where you're doing dua in the midst of a wali of Allah, then there's more chance of acceptance. Because where the wali of Allah sits, where the beloved of Allah sits, where a friend of Allah sits, then special rahmah, mercy of Allah descends on that gathering. So this is another point we have to understand, which has been explained by the pious elders. So, for example, a person sits on a prayer mat or on his jai namaz, the wali of Allah, and Allah gives you a chance, an opportunity, that you see where he sits and you see his prayer mat, and you sit on his prayer mat and do dua, then alhamdulillah, the rank and the status increases even more. You're doing tasbih, and for example, when you do tasbih, when you repeat Allah Ta'ala's name, remembrance, and if there's a wali of Allah and his tasbih is present, and if you take his tasbih and start to do tasbih and use the beads, then you'll get more reward, because you, that tasbih is linked to the wali of Allah, the beloved of Allah. Then everything that's linked to the wali of Allah, then his special rahmah on that person, his du'as, his actions, his everything is more blessed. And he doesn't know himself, he doesn't know that I am the beloved of Allah, or I'm special, does Allah love me or not. He doesn't feel that, or he doesn't want that. But nowadays, this is the situation. So alhamdulillah. So what we are saying, the point that's being made here, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a system to elevate the rank and the status of the human being. And this is our life. This is what we need to see. That how a person, his rank and status increases. And he doesn't know. So for example, we come to dhikr, and due to the company of the dhakirin, then due to the company of the pious people, your status increases even more. And furthermore, due to the fadl and the grace of Allah, we start doing dhikr. Then due to dhikr, our status increases. And then what do we know? That during dhikr, we are reciting different kalimat, different verses. And the pure people, the sincere people, some people just do dhikr of la ilaha illallah, repetition of la ilaha illallah. So the more kalimat, the more verses that are recited, and some of them are very high in status and beloved to Allah. Some of the Quranic verses are ismul azam, ism-e-azam, Adham means great. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name or His mention, His praise is in those verses. La hasbuna Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ya hayyu ya qayyum. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And this is Khatam Khawajighan. And our pious elders who have taught us this and we have received this from, these kalimats are high grade, high class accepted kalimats. So the person then recites these high grade, high status kalimats and verses, special unique verses, then his rank, his status is increasing. So we don't know where Allah Ta'ala's mercy is descending more and not in some other places, but a person who comes to the masjid, prays Isha Salah, he sits in the gathering of the Wali of Allah, then starts to do dhikr, then in dhikr there are these kalimats and high status kalimats and verses, then alhamdulillah Durood Sharif, culmination of Durood, with Durood. We know what is the maqam of Durood, high status, and this is the Rahbub, the Mahbub of Rabbul Alameen, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sazam, who is sending Durood, and Allah says, Inna Allah wa malaikata yusalluna ala Nabi. Me and my angels send Durood on the Nabi, and you also do this. So then, due to all of these actions, the person gets to the rank of the Wali, Wilayat, friendship of Allah. Is this not the case? So, at that time, a person, his form takes the appearance, the form of nur and light, people, morning and evening. And how fortunate are the people that if we get a majlis in our life, if we get it once in our life, even that's a great thing. If in our life, once if we get this, then alhamdulillah, this is a great thing indeed. If we think about it. Now, all of these things in the light of the Quran and the hadith I'm mentioning is that we are blind. In opposition to this, that we say, oh, how are you, so are you okay, are you fine, and where did you go, yes I went here, and tell me more, how are you feeling, Kim Cho, how are you feeling, and come on let's drink some tea, and we're looking, and hours will pass in just chit chat, and then backbiting and lying, and the whole majlis, these are beloved to us, because they are shaitan gatherings, and this is the Rahmani majlis, the majlis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah ta'ala saved us or not? Tell me, so we should be so grateful that Allah Ta'ala takes us and saves us from the shaitani gatherings. Otherwise, what happens? And time is passing, our life and days and nights, they're passing and the time is reducing up to death. But Allah Ta'ala, with His fadl and His karam, His grace and His mercy, that Allah Ta'ala has established a gathering of dhikr somewhere. And we're making complaints, oh no, I don't have time. What do I have time for? I look at the time. And the time we don't have for dhikr, those people have a stomachache, others, if you just go after them for 5 minutes, and then see what do they do in that time, that they don't have 1.5 hours for Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So let's analyze them. If you have a camera, just go after them and take the record and see this person for 1.5 hours, what did he want to do in that time? He didn't have time. And you'll see a weird drama unfolding, for which Allah Ta'ala has prepared the gathering for us. And the barakat, that Allah Ta'ala increases the person's status in Jannah, in paradise. And he leaves that action and for 1.5 hours, he plays games, messes around. He didn't have time. What is it that he wanted to do, this person? And then see what that person is doing at that time. And all of the loss and the wasting of the time in the dunya, then Allah Ta'ala shows the punishments and the consequence of that. So a person who leaves a gathering of dhikr because he doesn't have time and he's going somewhere else, then Allah Ta'ala says, this is the point. That even if he doesn't go to a bad gathering, then Allah Ta'ala puts the shaitans after him and gives him a punishment. They give this person that he left my gathering and he did not appreciate this gathering, that I'm giving him such a big reward, and he said I didn't have time. Today, do we not say this? Is this not the point? That if we go in opposition to this and we look into our lives and our records and look at the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, who is watching us, who has seated us down, who has sat us down, who allowed us to drive the car from far to come here, and all of our dunya life things, we're feeling sleepy and tired, and a phone's coming, a child's coming, and the wife, and thousands of things we leave, and our Mawla said, come away from the dunya and come towards me, Allah Ta'ala says. And even then we keep on crying. I keep on crying and complaining. Can there be someone more unfortunate than this person? The person should be crying who leaves this gathering and goes. He becomes a friend of shaitan. He becomes the associate of shaitan. Such a person, why should he cry? The person who comes to the gathering, who is immersed and bowing in the gathering of Allah, your fadl. However you've sent me, my eyes were closing, I was feeling sleepy, I was feeling drowsy, I was tired. But your karam, in this condition you brought me to this gathering, I don't even know myself how I reached here. And a person who's fresh, he's got food in his stomach, and he's healthy and energetic, he's got the power, and 8 hours he slept, and he says, I don't have time to attend the gathering. I don't have time. What was he to do at that time? Another person tired, broken body, and look, Allah Ta'ala's selection. And the person who considers himself a sinner, he says, Allah, what are we going to do in the night? And shaitan will make us do silly actions. And what we will do when silly actions, we'll do, insan, we'll misuse our time and abuse our time and waste our time. And a person, he commits sins. But karam of Allah, mercy of Allah, that despite all those sins, Allah Ta'ala gives us the chance. We cry and complain. We're crying and complaining, Allah, we're sinners and this and that. But look at Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, His mercy. If Allah wanted that sin that we did in the night, that we did committed in the day, and the sins we committed in our business and our work, and the sins we've done left and right, we should be making up for those sins. Because Allah Ta'ala, if He becomes displeased with us, He could give us punishments and we would suffer. But despite our sins, Allah Ta'ala has opened up the path to His house for us. He has set us in His dhikr. And on our tongues we got La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Durood-e Paak and Durood Sharif, and the ziyarah of a friend of Allah. And despite after committing the sins, we are doing all of this. And look, if this is not Allah's rahmah, then what is this? Is this not the case? So here, the Quran speaks to us. The Quran says, لَا تُبْلُتُوا أَمَالُكُمْ O people of Iman, that I keep on elevating your status after salah, after dhikr, after Quran, after recitation, after tilawat, after all the good deeds you do, I elevate your status, I increase your status. But be careful of one thing. La tubtulu amwalukum. Then don't waste your deeds. Don't waste your deed. Don't waste and spread your deeds. Straight away, Allah Ta'ala has given you high status, lot of reward, you've done dhikr. Some people will reach the high stages, walayat, and your faces will be gleaming and shining with nur, and the angels will be amazed. Has it ever been, if you see your character, that the angel comes and shakes your hand? And here, what will happen for us? That the whole of the gap between the heavens and the earth is filled with the angels, according to the hadith. So when a person is in this situation, in such a gathering, imagine your status at this time. Imagine, we don't have the appreciation, we don't understand what we are, but whether we accept or not, this is the situation, subhanAllah. Otherwise we would be able to see with our eyes what must be the hal at this moment in time. Our darajat, our status, our manzil, our destination, all the sins will be removed. Allah increases the reward and all of the levels of the person because he is in the dhikr of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala says that after that you will go. And Allah Ta'ala says that you will start to reduce your level and rank and status due to your deeds. So what we realize is that as soon as the status increases, we start to reduce it at the same time. We start to play with our level and our status and our iman. So when you get the status, high grade status, Allah Ta'ala says, it doesn't stay the same point. It can, if you have courage and you strive and make effort. But then till the morning, we reduce all of our level back towards the zero mark, back towards the normality. Why? We do this. The Quran says that why do you do this? Allah Ta'ala says control your status. When you reach a high status, strong iman, then control it. And this happens. A person increases his iman, his level, his status, his rank. Then he commits such deeds that they make him go back low, down, down. And he goes back down in the level status of his iman. So I'll give you an example, an event, a true story, a true event. There was a wali of Allah in our silsila. He had the link with Hazrat Fadl Ali Qurayshi rahmatullahi. True story, true event. And this pious servant of Allah and Hazrat Fazal Ali Qurayshi rahmatullahi's khalifas, he was one of the famous khalifas, Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani rahmatullahi, and he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. And it was the relative also, a few years he in Zakir Masjid. You know, Qari Saad, the Nomani Sahib comes, he recites in the different styles of recitation, he recites the Quran. Then with him came a relative of Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani, and he came with him, the relative, and he was also the relative of Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani. And he was a very high grade status wali. And our Hazrat Sahib was peered by with Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani, and my Hazrat would live with him. Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani would keep my Hazrat at his home. One day when I was coming, it was Hajj, I think. Then Hazrat Sahib wrote me a letter that if you want to meet me, then he wrote me, gave me the address, and it's in my letter. If you want to meet me, then do this. These days I'll be in Medina, and this is the address in Medina. And do you know whose address it was? Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani, rahmatullahi. So this was the Muhalla Darvesh, the locality of the Darvesh. They had a lot of love between each other. They were both students of Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh. Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani was the Khalifa. He had such a high status that quite a lot of people went towards Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh and then towards Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani, rahmatullahi. Then he was a sheikh, he was a teacher. And he had a sheikh and he was the khalifa. Do you understand? Hazrat Abdul Ghafoor Madani, he had a khalifa. And he was also a very pious wali of Allah. I can't remember his name. I knew his name, but I've met him. He was in Karachi. And he was, I think, from Sarhad. And he was the khalifa after him. He was also a very high status wali of Allah. So, there was a wali of Allah who used to live there. And he was famous, his name. And he was called Peer-e-Tariqat. And mashallah, a very pious person. And it was a big gathering he used to have. And he saw in a dream, who has Abdul Ghafoor Madani rahmatullah, is Khalifa's Khalifa. So the deputy of the deputy of Hazrat Abdul Ghafoor Madani rahmatullah saw those walis who lived in that. So he didn't have a link with that silsila, with that order of sheikhs, but they were different sheikhs from a different order, but they were famous and pious and a good wali of Allah. So he saw in the dream. So this is the Khalifa of the Khalifa of Hazrat Abdul Ghafoor Madani rahmatullah. And he saw a dream about the other walis in his area, locality. To see a dream is a significant thing, and it's important, and it's a reality. Sometimes in dreams you get a big message and you get a hint or guidance, and for this reason you need to understand, you need to see who is seeing the dream, and there are a lot of conditions of the dream, but the dream is a very you can say important thing. Like we do istikhara, after we do istikhara we sleep, and then you see maybe a dream and you do amal on that dream, you see guidance. So after istikhara, the asal tariqa is that when a person does istikhara for a certain objective, whatever is your objective, you do istikhara, you want to buy a shop, you want to go to business, get married, or you for any other reason, it's lazim, it's sunnah. What should you do? That you should do istikhara, definitely for guidance, to get advice. And istikhara is this, that it is not linked with istikhara. Istikhara is not linked with a dream. It's a dua. It's not necessary that you see a dream. The bodies of Allah have given a tariqah that after in the night you read istikhara salah and go to sleep, and then you'll get a hint in the dream. But don't go on this. Some people, what they do is that someone says, do istikhara for me. Somebody says, do istikhara for me. The reality, this is not the good thing. Why? Because the link of istikhara is that individual who wants to do istikhara, he should do it himself, because he has the link with Allah, he wants to know from Allah. So there are different positions. It's not necessary you'll see a dream. Rather, the great position is the person who does istikhara for his sake, for himself. Then in the day, Allah Ta'ala in his heart, Allah Ta'ala instills the message, so his heart feels, okay, I'll do this action. So if somebody else is doing this to cover him, and we don't know what is his position, is he a good person, pure, sincere, pious, good Muslim, what are his conditions? If he starts to do istikhara for you, and maybe he will start to see himself, and maybe he'll start seeing his own dreams, because he's not a pious and an upright servant, because he's not linked to your desire, your need. And if he says to you, oh, I've seen a dream for you, and you're successful, I've seen this in the dream for you, do this, then he starts doing the action, and then he goes into the wrong conclusion, because the wrong person did istikhara. So whenever you do istikhara, do it yourself, because you are seeking guidance and direction from Allah. So it is stated here that this is the tariqah. It's okay, you can do amal on this. That, for example, in the night after Isha, recite two nafil salah, do the istikhara dua, sleep in the right side. But it's not necessary. If you can't do that, no problem, do dua of istikhara. And doesn't mean that you have to see a dream and get the guidance in the dream. You think, I didn't see a dream. There's no link of istikhara. Just do the dua of istikhara. And after that, then Allah Ta'ala will give His grace and His mercy to you. And He'll open up your heart towards the direction He wants you to go. Because you've asked Allah for help. So it's not necessary we do. A lot of people, you know, for example, is something, a big dilemma and a decision. There are fake peers, fake teachers, and say, oh, please do istikhara from us, we'll take £50, we'll do istikhara for you, give us £10, we'll tell you, will your business flourish? And a person like me, poor soul, oh, here's £10, do istikhara for me. Then that person looks at him, no, £10 on us, I need to do istikhara for you 3 days, give me £50 more, and I'll do it for you. This is deception, deceit. Istikhara is ibadah, it's worship, it's sunnah, and it's been written, and these people are doing this sort of thing. It's contradictory, opposition to what istikhara is. So do istikhara yourself, that's the first point. Don't ask others or a third party to do something. You don't need to look for somebody pious. Doesn't matter how much of a sinner you are, look, Allah Ta'ala has given us success through istikhara. Despite being how much you are a sinner, if you focus towards Allah, Allah will give you the right answer, even if you're a sinner. So if you think that I'm a sinner, I need to go to a good person and ask him to do istikhara for me, Allah will say, okay, so you have no trust in my mercy, you don't have trust in my decision. Oh foolish man, you sinned all day long, and through this excuse you came towards me, you wanted istikhara. Subhanallah. Allah said, you at least had an excuse for coming to me. So I like this, that okay, I will tell you, is this good for you or is this bad for you? Subhanallah. So totally don't do this, that this is Allah Ta'ala's situation, I'm a sinner, and you are pious, and please do istikhara for me, this is wrong. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. Go yourself to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. communicate yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask from Allah directly. Am I right or am I wrong? So in the future, be careful about this, that do your own istikhara. After that, if you don't understand the dream, or if a dream doesn't come, look towards your heart. What does your heart feel? The strength of the feeling in the heart. Go to a pious elder, I did istikhara, and my heart is not satisfied. What should I do? This is the feeling in my heart. Then he'll give you advice. It's not necessary, he'll tell you what to do. He doesn't have the link with your istikhara. Many pious elders, they don't make a decision, because this is the situation of the seven wali. He says, I'll do this. And tomorrow doesn't succeed. He'll say, oh, what kind of wali was this? And then that person, he runs away. Because today, people's iman is like this. I went to Hazrat and I was doing dhikr there as well. And I did dhikr 5-7 years. And then I did istikhara. And he, by mistake, he told me this. And my solution went opposite. Oh, I'm not going to go to peers anymore, sheikhs. So our sheikhs, they know today how our iman is. And after a little bit of difficulty, we go opposite. We complain. I'm not going to the sheikh. He gave me this advice. And it turned out wrong. Is this dhikr? I don't do dhikr. Because due to dhikr, I didn't go, no success. And look at our qismat. We should be knocking our heads. That what are we saying? What are we uttering? Our iman is so weak that we don't even weigh what we are saying before we say. What we want today is that the wali of Allah should follow my whims and desires, my philosophy and my direction, and the wali of Allah, he should conform to my desires and give me the prescription to my desires. What is this? Sheikh Saab's done this to me. He said, tell me, do this. Why is he strict to me? How can this be that this person, the wali, in this day and age, and we sit down in the corner and do ghibat and slander, and we don't know, we're wasting our life, spoiling our life. So this is not the situation, my brothers. If you go to wali of Allah, then follow the guidance and the direction according to his prescription. Or do we have to follow our desires? You have to have a bit of a scoldness and a bit of firmness and a bit of strictness, and he will maybe give us the hard tarbiyah. Anyway, this is a different topic. Let me come back to the topic. So, this wali of Allah, shall I revise and remind you? Don't have time to go over everything. So this wali of Allah, he saw in a dream the other walis who were living in that day and age. And what did he see in his dream? Subhanallah, he saw that this wali of Allah, this other wali, he was a wali, the deputy of Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani, and his dreams used to be true. And he saw this other sheikh is sitting, and his murids are sitting, like you see in the dream, and they were doing dhikr. And every murid, there was noor raining down on every murid, the student, and they were immersed in the noor, and the sheikh was immersed in the noor and the light. And this wali said, with adab, and I went and I reached to that gathering, and I said that I am this person. Or he asked me, sorry, who are you? Introduce yourself. The wali wala said, who was leading the gathering, and this sheikh who saw the dream, he said, this is my name. And he was had a high status, and he was also coming from a good silsila. And he thought for a little while, the sheikh said, I didn't recognize you. He said, is it? Then he said, I gave my sheikh's name. And the wali was thinking, he said, no, I cannot recognize you. Then the wali said, this is weird. Then he said, I gave the sheikh Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani, my grandfather sheikh, soon as gave his name, suddenly he stood up straight. Sat up straight. He said, okay, so you are the khalifa of the khalifa of Hazrat Abdul Ghafur Madani. Then the silsila continued and the situation continued. So he realized and he recognized Hazrat Abdul Ghafur. He said, okay, I understand who you are. Then he respected that wali. Then he said, okay, so you are the descendant spiritually from that wali. He said, look, you know your sheikh, your teacher, mashallah, and his wilayat is stopped on the 12th. He will get the maqam on the 12th level. And he gave this good news. And then his eyes opened. Subhanallah. And after some days, he saw a dream again. He saw a dream again. And I'm telling you this, لَا تُبْتُلُوا أَمْوَالُكُمْ. I'm telling you about people with high stage, high rank, about the buzurgs, the walis in our silsila. I'm not talking about old days, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. I'm giving you the latest news that this happens. This is for your tarbiyah. I'm not giving you stories. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is tarbiyat. This is your spiritual improvement. If Allah Ta'ala increases the status, then don't decrease. This happens. And you'll ask, how does this happen? And I'm saying, the Hazrat, what are you talking about? How can, if our rank is increased and level increases, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. We got status. So how will it go back down? It can't go back down. So now when he saw the dream, now listen here. What did he see in the dream? That he saw the person looked like the fasiq and the fajir and the evildoers, the sinners, and there's darkness. He said, just 2 days ago I saw these walis and they were in the good situation. They gave me a good piece of news, and now they're in a different situation. They don't look good, it's bad, and there's darkness. So he got up from his sleep, and then he didn't speak about his dream to anybody. The third day he saw him in the dream again, the wali wala, after 2 days. Then he's in that same position, alhamdulillah, the noor and the light and the silsila and mashallah, the noor raining down, and then he gave the good news again to him directly, that you also, mashallah, will get to high status, high grade. And mashallah, he did afterwards, mashallah, pass away as a good and a great sheikh with kashf. So this dream finished. So first dream he saw the wali. Second time he saw that same wali, the wali wasn't in a good situation. Third time he saw him, he was noor. He said, Hazrat, that there's a wali here in this day and age, and I saw him in a dream. But just as I said to you, that when things change, then a person asks a sheikh or a teacher to get the guidance. I don't understand this, Hazrat. Please explain to me. So that's when a person reaches to the sheikh, or for example, istikhara, guidance. So he went to his Hazrat and said, Hazrat, please tell me that I saw these two dreams about one same person. And he's still there in the dunya now, and he is a wali of Allah, and he's living his taqwa, he's got fear of Allah, and he's famous, and he's a malik of a great silsila with right aqeedah. So in these two dreams, why is there the difference? In one dream, there's so much contrast to the other dream. La tubtulu amwalukum. And he was the wali of Allah. Hazrat Abdul Ghafoor Madani, rahmatullahi's khalifas, was the teacher of this sheikh who saw the dream. He said, both of your dreams are true. Both of you. He said, how can this be, Hazrat? That he's in extreme opposite condition in the dreams. And he said, yes. In the first dream, you saw noor raining down. This was his high status, high grade. Allah Ta'ala had kept him on the high grade status. But what happened was that the second form you saw in the dream at that time, that when he had made a mistake, Sharan, he was a human being. We're not angels. We're not innocent. That's why I'm telling you that for ourselves, for me and for you, there's a nasiha I am presenting. That we are insan, we are human beings. And we can make a mistake. The eye is a mistake, we speak nonsense, lie, okay? So where does our rank and status go? La tubtulu amwalukum. So Allah Ta'ala said at that time, and a beautiful point will come out on this, listen carefully to what I'm saying, attentively. MashaAllah, this is a great majlis today. So what happened was that he said that this time, what has he done? He has committed a sin, or he's done something in opposition to Sharia. So his rank and status at that time decreased, and he'd lost them, and he came to this stage, where you saw him in the dream in darkness and in a bad form. Bad appearance. So this sheikh, two forms, extremes. One is the first one, and there's the second one. And if the maut of the death comes in one or either of, if the maut of the death comes in the first condition, like he's a wali of Allah, he'll wake as a wali of Allah and rise as a friend of Allah. And if he dies in the second state, then he will die in the form of a fasiq. And he will do all the ibadat wasted, all dhikr finished, all Quran finished, all the darajat and rank gone. And I'm talking about a great wali of Allah, silsila. A wali of Allah in a silsila, in a series. Why? Quran is true. Allah Ta'ala's statements are true. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statements are haq. They are true. Whatever we see from the Quran and the Hadith cannot be criticized. You can't move it left or right. If Allah Ta'ala said, then that's it. La tubtulu amwalukum. I will take your status high and your iman high, and I can take your status and iman down. And when you go down, you will go down in the same way, just like the sins you committed and the deficiencies in your life. And when you go high, Allah Ta'ala says, I will take you so high. Now me and your our life is what? Do we know when death will come? Do you know when death will come? Do I know when death will come? In which form and status should I die? From here we earn and we go. Isn't it? May Allah Ta'ala give us death in such a way that we have just departed, we get the rules. But if we leave this majlis and we go away into the dunya and we commit the sin, then me and you will not be the same. Doesn't matter how much we convince ourselves. But when we left the majlis after doing dhikr, we were high status noor. But when a person sins, he becomes like a swine or the dog. You do commit a bad sin, it becomes like the animals. But we think, no, I do dhikr, I remember Allah, I prayed my salah. Hazrat told me that after dhikr, all your sins are forgiven. Look at the deception, a person becomes like this. But what does that person become? That when we've committed the sin, then our status shoots down to the earth and destroys us. Our salah, Quran, la tubtulu amwalukum. Allah Ta'ala has given straightforward guidance here. So then the second question, he said, okay, Hazrat, I understand. But then the third dream, he was back in the initial stage where he was noor raining down and he had the high status. Then Hazrat said, yes, he was a wali of Allah. So when he committed the sin, he recognized the sin and he had the regret and the remorse. He did tawbah. So Allah Ta'ala gave him back that maqam, the high status maqam. What a great point. Look at the game of rahmah, mercy. So we aren't angels. We aren't angels, we are not masoom, we are not innocent. The wali of Allah is not innocent. But even then he had that time to compensate. But when we commit the sin, We should accept straight away that it's a sin. And then we say, Allah, tawbah, I made a mistake, forgive me. On the road, you're in the shop, at your business place, in your car, wherever you are and you commit the sin, there straight away raise your two hands and say, Allah, I've made a mistake, please forgive me. Allah Ta'ala says, my system of rahmah straight away comes into play. And the tawbah, what you have done, I will take you to the high level due to you doing tawbah. You will get high status reward. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what point comes out here? That brothers, the darajat have been increased, our status and the rank of the dhakir has been increased, but when we commit a sin, we should accept it straight away, that I've sinned. Oh, and I say, I didn't do a sin. Why are you telling me? Oh, you shouldn't do this. Why are you telling me? How can this be? I can do what I want, etc. Astaghfirullah. Think for a moment, brothers, that what we are doing and how we're playing with our lives, we should ponder and have regret and remorse. We shouldn't just say that we are the best because a person, he cannot elevate himself. Allah Ta'ala's hands, Allah controls respect and Rahman is mercy. Even if we made a very small iota of a mistake, we committed the sin, it will make our rank drop. Suddenly realize I've committed the mistake. And the hadith, Allah, I've made a mistake. Don't wait, you'll go to the masjid and do wudu, and you'll go home, then you'll think, was this a sin or not? Then I'll go to Malana and get a fatwa, and he's given a fatwa, but your qalb is giving the fatwa that you're not satisfied. That you are not satisfied with peace with what you did, and you say, no, no, can I do this, can I do that? But if your heart is not satisfied, because after doing dhikr, the heart is cleaned and purified, so the qalb, the heart gives a fatwa, so the person's not satisfied, he deceives them, no, it's okay what I did, maybe this is not the case. So what is this? This is the biggest danger. Straight away accept that I've heard from this person, from this sheikh, I've heard the words, and this word was recommended for me that I committed the sin, and most verily I am committing the sin, Allah forgive me, and stand there and say that. Allah Ta'ala will say, go up, I've forgiven you. So if in this situation death comes, I've asked for forgiveness, then that person will succeed. Is it hard? So we need to bring our status to this position. Allah Ta'ala says that don't waste your deeds, rather do tawbah, repent and keep your deeds warm and hot and acceptance. And another beautiful point I'd like to mention to you, for those Sufis, that's coming to my heart, and mashallah, you will benefit from this and you will appreciate this. There's a hadith that is a very famous hadith, well-known hadith, about the dhakireen, about ishq, the people who have love for dhikr. And many times this hadith is presented and discussed, and many times you will have heard me narrate this hadith. And this hadith, what a meaning of this hadith that I have understood, a beautiful meaning has come out of this. Look, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated to Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that may your death come in this position. Who's saying this? Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, to who? His beloved sahabi. He was an ashik, a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a lover that Allah's Nabi said, I love Mu'adh and Mu'adh loves me. Aha, subhanallah. What a sahabi, imagine. What was his rank and his status, and what was the nasiha that he got, that he's delivered to us, and how valuable it is, and how rich it is, and the rewarding it is. And if we don't benefit from it, then we are going into a loss. What is the nasiha? Rasulullah SAW said that, O Mu'adh, we are about to part, and I love you, and you love me, and you love me, and I love you, and I love you. Oh, and they both had extreme love for each other. So as Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, please give me something, a final message. So take this gift from me. Imagine you're departing from your beloved, and the beloved gives you a gift. All your life you'll keep on looking at that gift. Will you not? You will. That my beloved, I can't see him maybe, but here, my beloved, take this gift. So when I was shopping one day, and subhanAllah, there was an ashik, mashallah, who had ishq with the dhikr of Allah. And after some days I met him, and I said, how are you, mashallah, everything's okay. And I was putting my shopping in my boot, and he came from behind, whatever he could buy, and he bought a box of juice, a carton. I was putting it, and then the beautiful words he said, that Hazrat Sahab, that in my life, maybe we may not meet again, here's my gift for you, please accept. And tears came to my eyes, because there's a feeling of the insan, not about the gift, but this was such an event, that this person loves me, and in his heart he had a desire that maybe we cannot meet again, maybe we won't meet again, so here's the gift from me to you, please accept. And there I stood there, and I was thinking, and such a gift in such a style is coming with ishq, with love, with muhabbat, and it's giving the exchange of love and the message of love, and its color, its form, and its feeling is beautiful. Do you not understand what I'm saying? And this is the discussion about the ashiks. So the sahabi of Rasul, he said, Ya Rasulullah, please give a gift. And the gift was given to us, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, was a gift for the whole ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Karim said, I'll tell you, I'll give you one gift, that die in such a way, die in such a state, such should your death come, that your tongue should be moist with the dhikr of Allah at that time. Thus I say, congratulations for the dhakirin, alhamdulillah. Congratulations, mubarak. And if you pay attention to this hadith, and all the words are mentioned, pay attention to these words. Listen. That, what is the conclusion of all of this? That our life is up and down. We go up and we go down. Our iman goes up and go down. And if our iman goes down and we die in that situation, then we'll be unsuccessful. This is the danger, isn't it? That our iman goes down and we pass away. Then that's it. Then there will be janazah. Maybe somebody will do dua of janazah for us. And that's it. And then all the fuses will be blown. And we'll go down. So what did our Aqa, our Master Rasulullah said? That every time do the dhikr of Allah and you'll always be on the high status grade. Because dhikr has two special characteristics and attributes. Two specialties. One is that the sins are removed. Alhamdulillah. And the second one is forgiveness. So these are the two consequences and characteristics of dhikr. So if you keep on doing dhikr of Allah, then it's obvious the sins you are committing are being removed and forgiven because you're doing dhikr. And istighfar of yours is continuing with your dhikr, alhamdulillah. And with dhikr, the forgiveness has been attained. So when a person is in the form of dhikr and he passes away, then he's forgiven upon forgiven. Subhanallah. That's why in our hearts we should do dhikr of Allah. So much dhikr, so much dhikr, so much dhikr that you should be a dhakir all the time. And you shouldn't even feel, but your heart should be doing dhikr of Allah. And this will be at that time when we sit for hours upon end doing dhikr of Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. In such a way that our wujud and our self within is reciting the name of Allah. And this is the beautiful preparation for maut. Because the dhakir, he will never lose. Allah will send him through the same stages, but they'll go through with ease. That's why the walis of Allah, the true sheikhs, the true walis of Allah who pass away, then they pass away on a high stage, high maqam. Because that time when they're passing away, they're doing dhikr. And obviously their iman never goes down. Rather their iman is baland and high. So the greatest wali, you will see that they pass away and die in the form whilst they are doing dhikr of Allah. Through their tongue, their hand, etc. But they're doing dhikr, they're dhakir. And the person who does dhikr qalbi, in the heart, and we call this dhikr qalbi, the dhikr of the heart, the silent dhikr. The speciality of this is whether you feel it or not, but I'm telling you this, that according to the hadith, the effect of dhikr, the qalbi dhikr, is that if a person learns dhikr of the heart, khafi dhikr, silent dhikr, and he does the dhikr and lives his life according to the sharia, and he has learnt qalbi dhikr, then what happens that his every atom and nucleus and molecule of his body does the dhikr of Allah. Because when the heart does dhikr of Allah, it's a physical thing, if there's a doctor here, that with every recitation of Allah's name, there's the it work in parallel. So the heart is a pump, and it pumps blood around the body. So the person inhales oxygen, and oxygen goes into the heart, the blood, and then the blood pumps the oxygen around the body and exchanges it for carbon dioxide. So whoever is the dhakir, his pump, when he does the dhikr of Allah and he recites Allah's name in the heart, then he's pumping out the barakat of the name of Allah and it goes and benefits all of the limbs of the parts of the body. There's a story, mashallah, we see that most definitely the heart is doing the dhikr of Allah. So when the blood is distributed around the body into the veins and into the tissues and the flesh, then every portion will be doing Allah. Allah, the heart is pumping the blood. When you do dhikr of Allah in the heart, you're saying Allah, Allah, Allah. That transforms into the blood. That blood is distributed to the body. So then your hair grows, your nails and your skin, and everything works due to the blood, isn't it? So when your blood is distributed to the corners of the body and the limbs, then your eyes will be dhakir, your hands are dhakir, your heart dhakir, your ruh dhakir, your soul dhakir, and everything will be doing dhikr of Allah. So how will it allow your status to go down? So say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So three things I've explained to you, alhamdulillah, very valuable points. And the dhakir is a glad tiding for the dhakir who strives. And those people who've got tasbih in the hand, alhamdulillah. And never will you depart from this world at loss. Never will you depart this world at a loss, whether it's a woman or a man. So my brothers, use your tasbih and use your tasbih and do the dhikr of the heart. And do your tasbih with the beads on the dhikr of the heart. Don't look morning and evening, that's enough. No, that's just the introduction. Now you should every second be the dhakir. Every moment you're at work, wherever you are, every moment, every second, where you close your eyes. Allah, 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 Allah. Why? Because we have to prepare for that time that the sins that we've committed, may we not fall into the sin, may we not be in the state of sin at the time of death. That's why we're doing dhikr, to accustom ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq and you brothers also. Ameen.